Ulko. Joo.
My name is Pete. I'm a grateful addict. I'm in shock. But that's okay. But I need to be with me at this moment. I need to have a support. God. Please stay with me so I could get through this, one of my dreams. And please show me the way I can feel relaxed so I can go this on. And if it's possible, press the button to open the connection from my heart to my mouth so I can be real me in here. And remember, I promised the guys that I don't gonna freeze here. Amen. I have to listen the answer. Yeah, okay. I know you will. Yeah, okay, thanks. I got promised that you'll be just fine. Yeah, and always when you share from your heart, that will be enough. Okay. I'd like to wish welcome if there are any non-addicts that you have interested about our great fellowship. And you know, there is no big enough words to explain. I'm a crybaby. Yeah, I love you too. There is no enough big words to explain the power of the Narcotics Anonymous. And like my brother in recovery, Bim, read in an earlier meeting that we have only one message. And message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose desire to use, and find a new way of life. The message is hope, and the message is freedom. Yeah. So welcome. And warmly from my heart, I like to wish welcome the newcomers. Is here anybody who is first time in the NA meeting? Whoa! Warmly welcome. She's over there. Yeah, give yourself a chance. Our book says that 90 meetings, 90 days, and then watch out the decision that are you gonna stay. But stay. If you have problems, stay. Then you have possibilities. Okay. Yeah. So. And surrender is the key. And if you don't know how it happens or anybody else knows how it happens, I will read in the end few words about the surrendering. It's not the rocket science, so you will be hear it. Okay. Now I have to start. Okay, I'm a local guy here from Helsinki and born and lived here all my life. And first 20, over 20 years, I lived just other side of the bridge on the neighborhood called Lauttasaari. Very nice, very neighborhood, and a lot of woods and a lot of rocks and a lot of sport fields and coast and sea and so on. Grass fields, by the way, where the smooth touch of the ball is from. And the clinical finishing. Yeah, but we don't talk about football now. Yeah. And very, very nice neighborhood and a lot of kids and so on. But I forget one thing. I took myself a time before I came here in this area, and I listened. King Elvis sang the beautiful song, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Very nice song, beautiful song, nice words. And there was a chapter that see how they shine. And I guess I come here, I feel and I see you. I don't blinded by the light. I'm being blinded by the shine of you. You are the shine of hope. You are shining gratitude. You're shining joy of life. And thank you for that. Yeah, okay. But I continue. The nice neighborhood, it's for me as a childhood, very, very nice place to run away for the reality. Because my reality in my home was that there was two alcoholics, and home was mostly all was fear, shame, and horrible things, and it's I always try to run away, and I stay out from morning to if I don't have to be school from morning to evening, and playing in the fields, and on the winter time playing hockey and so on, and meeting friends, but it didn't get away the worry and the fear what happened in a home at that moment. And when I get home, I have to hide the booze and I have to hide the pills, and I have to find something to eat and that kind of stuff. And my mother used to we stay with the mother in the weeks, and daddy was traveling work, and he always called me then and told me that Petteri, try to get it and be hard, and I come home at weekends, so I have hope whole week that daddy comes and everything goes right. But when he come, he opened the bottle and start to drink, and then he go to the work on Monday too. So my life was pretty much hoping and disappointing and worrying and that kind of. And I had have a kid brother, so I have to take care of him, and I have to take care of our food and get to the shop and that on. And I learned there that there is no space about the crying. There is no space about any kind of feelings. So only way what I have to be is be tough, and try to do what everybody expect. I was under 10 years old, and they expect me to be an adult there I learned to freeze my feelings, and I couldn't show any kind of fear or the sensitivity or no crying and that on, and I feel pretty isolated in my head from my friends because nobody want to come to visit us because there was smoking and drunk peoples and so on, and I watched to see the family violence and sexual stuff and all kind of that what not belong to the kids. But I try to be a good boy, and I try to be what everybody else expect me. Yeah. But so on, and of course my school and everything. Was not good, and but I liked the sport, and sport was the runaway from there. But it goes on, and parents get divorced, and we stay with the papa. But in my home, then in one horrible night happens the. Ah. happens the horrible thing which changed my life at that moment. I became too sexually abused by an adult I trust. And after that happening, I never could reach same level as others. I became the weird, I became weird, sick person who, in the deep thoughts, who don't have a place in earth. And I swear that I ever, ever tell that, my secret, to nobody. And I became a secret man. I have a secret which isolated me from the others. And that followed me so far as I become in recovery. Okay, the place in Lauttasaari started to be too small, and I became a runaway kid. I didn't want to go to school, and they kicked me out from school in age 16, and I find my way to the downtown Helsinki in a railway station area, station tunnel, which were the places where no parents want that their kids hang around. But I hang around, and I find the guys and friends and the gang which are mostly very much about the child home, school home kids and the runaway kids, and we hang around and be there from morning to evening and no schools, and it was kind of exciting, and it's possibility to run away, because always from the small kids I want to change the reality somehow, some different what it is, and I decide in home that I never gonna be like my alcoholic parents, my mama and my papa. But I didn't realize at that time that disease called addiction is our family disease. And we have had this gene of addiction for generations. For generations, this disease has killed my grandpas, my uncles, and two of my cousins made a suicide, and one of my cousins get killed in Queens, New York, where he lived, and it has been so powerful disease in our family that I didn't realize that then, because I learned to be tough. I think that I can handle everything. And don't tell me how to live. I know. In age 16, I think that you. Nobody tell me nothing. I know. Okay, and then I read one book which almost came my Bible. I read the Nicky Crutz Run Baby Run, which is gang book from the Brooklyn, New York, and I only in a half I read it, because after the half he told how he find the Jesus and the love and that, but I only read the gang stuff, and in Helsinki streets I live like a Nicky Crutz in Brooklyn. the heavy stuff was that I defined myself through my secrets. I couldn't get and all the stuff from home and all kind of that, so that was pretty tough. And but age 12 I start to drink booze, and age 15 come drugs, and age 18 I was out of the society, and selling drugs and using drugs every day became my life. And somehow I feel that drugs saved me, because thoughts of myself was so hard that I probably couldn't, I couldn't get done, you know. Yeah. But also as what I have learned in home is that I need some kind of expecting, and I always wait, expect from some others. So picture on me depends a lot of what everybody else thinking about me, and it's hard because the secrets. It's hard to see anything positive of myself, and so on. But the using time coming, and I have the special gene that one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And I use every day. I use so much as I can, and I do everything what I can to get more drugs. So it's easy, and of course problems with law, police are behind us everywhere, and we make all kind of with the teenage friends from the railway station area. We were very tired, and we almost did the. What is it? Verivala, blood, you know. Yeah, blood poach. Okay. That, and we decide that never nothing gonna be come between us. No girls, no police, no jails, no any kind of social workers or not. And they didn't, but the brown powder did. And when we get used to do that. Downhill was very fast for all of us, and much more stronger drug we use, so much more real psychos come around us, and they become guns and all kind of shit. But life became very, very unmatchable, and after a few years, there is no more left than jail times. I've been jailed a couple of times, and the most of the feeling was the endless desperate. Self-destruction feelings, endless sidelessness. There is no any kind of only dark views if you think you're alive, and I got my first kid 92 girl, but child protect authorities took her away after 9 months. And that was very right decision because 92 when she born was the baddest situation in my life. I just got out from prison, and I tried to make the difference by my own, but it doesn't work. Like no further any kind of chance to myself. They don't work, but somehow I got my first NA meeting in 92 in a detox, and I heard about they talk about God and higher power, and my vision about God was from the teenage years that they playing guitar and singing on the corner and giving the flyers, and I got some kind of afraid of that and I heard about the NA meeting. They speak about God, and I think that no thanks, I can handle this. Like man, this is my problem and problem, and this is not for me. But after one and a half years was the very bad downhill. So after that, after ODs and serious violence and homeless, I was homeless almost 10 years. But after that I find my way to the to the 14-day detox, and that move start to change my life. I get to the I wasn't clean then, and clean after the detox, and I have a thought that I need to get rid of the needle stuff. So if other, it's okay, but the needle stuff is bad, and I go to detox, and I go to. Go to treatment, and they start to some kind of a changing, in a treatment, in a program need to went to meetings and need to work the steps, and there come a time that it's be the time for the fifth step, and I guess. My secret is so hard that nobody can hear that. Everybody's put the finger on me and said that, hey, you sick bastard, go away. Go away, that we can't handle that. So there was a AA priest from AA, I think that maybe priest can. He can listen my secrets, because at that time I have a strong thought that now it's time to, if I want to continue the treatment, I have to share my secrets, and I call the priest, and priest come, and I have a first sponsor in that time, but it was pretty new, and I just get to know him, I couldn't even imagine that I can share my secrets to the ordinary people. But I share it from the priest, and priest was that probably it's not your fault. That adults are responsibility, he gave me some kind of a. Well, I lightened very, very many kilos after that, and it was very relieved moment the first fifth step, and please don't judge me like I expect, I continue to, there was a in a treatment there was a the. Deep scan therapy group, which been built by the sexual abuse patients and sexual violence patients, and we were there, and I've been there in a deep scan of psychotherapy for 4 years to heal my soul, and it was very good, and of course, at the same time, I do the NA program and live this lifestyle. I start to dream about things. I was after army. I was in army, age 17 and 18, and I just. Got my 18th birthday when I got out, and I was in a restaurant doing the chef stuff, learning the chef stuff 1 year after the army, and when I get clean and in a treatment when I start to see the hope in my life, and I start to see colors, and I start to hear the voice of the life, and that kind of stuff which come in the early when you get the real the obsession of use. So I start to make a little bit plans that what I'm gonna do and how I continue, and I get to school and I get profession. I was 3 years in the school, and I get the profession to be a chef, and I have had pretty successful career of job since that, and I also started. I take the contact from my daughter Ronja, and I be really cooperate. Oi, Wiesman. I'm just. Okay, but life has become very nice, and I have no problems with the paying taxes and be a professional member of the society but I have had sponsorships since beginning. I have connection with sponsor. I call him, and I be a sponsor for many addicts. And I usually say no if somebody asks me to be a sponsor, because I think that if somebody needs help, addict, it's not nature of Narcotics Anonymous to say no. And it's not nature to say that if you do this and if you do that and if you do that, I can be a sponsor. But if you don't do that, no, ask somebody else. So on. And I have a home group, which is very, very important to me. I call Kermit, my sponsor in America, late 90s, that in my home group. We have several members, and nobody want to serve that what I'm going to do. He asked me that, hey, Pete, you want that this is your home group? I said, yeah. He said, well, no problem. Then you serve, and you few buddies. So after that, it's become a safe harbor of me and part of my life. It's no anymore service stuff. It's my home group. Yeah, and I do the stuff. And I promise to guys that I will share a little bit of history, but I have no time for that. But in the late 90s, I have been in a history very, very, I have been in a, we put the H&I here, we made the first websites, we made the internet comedy, we made the helpline phone, and I have been over 20 years in a fundraising committee to get parties and so on. So service is a very big part of my new way of life. I have found God. I don't pray about God anymore. I have found God. I have found spirituality, and spiritual experience was pretty hard in the beginning to understand, because I understand spirituality that it make move the mountains and so on. So I can understand that to feel gratitude is spiritual experience. Yeah. Okay. Life with the life terms is right now very easy, very, very, very nice, because I have problems with my two of my oldest. I have four kids. Two of my oldest using and but there is hope that my son, he sit over there, he became back. He have 5 days clean. Yeah. Yeah. I love you, son. I love you, son, from the bottom of my heart. And my heart cries when you go back to use every day, every time. But I have hope you come back. You know where is the solution. It's right here. Like your daddy and like all your friends. Yeah. Okay. But now I will read. Yeah. I got the message. Pete, stop talking and read. I have so much about to tell about you, but I will read. This is about surrendering. Many of us began the process of surrender when we introduce ourselves at an NA meeting with the words, I'm an addict. When we admit that we are addicts and cannot stop using on our own, we become able to stay clean with the daily support of other recovering addicts in Narcotics Anonymous. The paradox of this admission is evident as we work the first step. As long as we thought we could control our drug use, we were more or less compelled to continue. The moment we admit we are powerless, we never have to use again. We reprieve from the compulsion to use is the most powerful gift what we can receive. It saves our lives. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you. Oh, I have to close this.